The Lord. No, welcome, man. Glad you're here today and glad you chose to get up and come hang out with us this morning. Hey, everybody that's here, put your hands together for all of our online viewers and let them know that we love them and appreciate them being here today as well. So we're going to continue in our series. We've been in this series for the last several weeks. We've been in this series entitled The Exceeding Life of Elisha. We've been looking at the life of this Old Testament prophet named Elisha and how God just kept doing the exceeding things in his life. And I want you to look at me. Look. I want you to know something this morning, that God is not done with you yet. If God has been faithful and God has been good, and sometimes you feel a little bit overwhelmed at how far the Lord has brought you, and you feel a little bit overwhelmed in how good he's been to you, I just want to tell you something this morning. He is not done with you. He wants to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all you can ask or imagine in your life. That's the God that we serve. And so we're going to read today from 2 Kings chapter number 3. If you have your phone or your Bible, your iPad, however you read the Word of God, you want to turn there, it'll be on the screen. We're going to read a story from 2 Kings chapter 3. We're going to start in verse number 9. We're going to pray right quick, and then we'll read the scripture. So if you would, bow your heads with me. Father, we just love you, and we thank you for today. Thank you for a country where we have the freedom to get up and come worship you. Lord, thank you for this church. It is our church. It's not a perfect church, but it's our church, and it's our people, and you have ordered us to be here, Lord. And so we just pray today that you would send your Holy Spirit, that your Holy Spirit would move, that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray as we read scripture today, that you would just give us clarity and understanding the Word of God. Lord, as I preach, I pray you would anoint me and hide me behind the cross. I pray for conviction. I pray for courage today from all of us. We just ask you to speak to us. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. 2 Kings chapter 3, starting in verse number 9. It says this, "The king of Edom and his troops joined them, and all three armies traveled along around about a route throughout the wilderness for 7 days. But there was no water for the men or their animals." Verse 10 says, "What should we do?" the king of Israel cried out. "The Lord has brought the three of us out here to let the king of Moab defeat us." But King Jehoshaphat of Judah asked, "Is there no prophet of the Lord with us? If there is, we can ask the Lord what to do through him." One of King Joram's officers replied, "Yes, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here. He used to be Elijah's personal assistant." Jehoshaphat said, "Yes, the Lord speaks through Elisha." So the king of Israel, the king Jehoshaphat of Judah, and the king of Edom went to consult with Elijah. Elisha said, "Why are you coming to me? Go to the pagan prophets of your father and mother." But King Joram of Israel said, "No, for it was the Lord who called us three kings here only to be defeated by the king of Moab." Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord Almighty lives, whom I serve, I wouldn't even bother with you three except for my respect for King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now bring me someone who can play the harp." While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha, and he said this, "This is what the Lord says. This dry valley will be filled with pools of water. You will see neither wind nor rain, says the Lord, but this valley will be filled with water. You will have plenty for yourselves and your cattle and other animals. But this is only a simple thing for the Lord, for he will make you victorious over the army of Moab. You will conquer the best of their towns, even their fortified ones. You will cut down all their good trees, stop up all their springs, and ruin all their good land with stones." The next day, at about the time when the morning sacrifice was offered, water suddenly appeared. It was flowing from the direction of Edom, and soon there was water everywhere. Let me set the scene for you, what's going on. There's three kings, the king of Israel, the king of Edom, and the king of Judah. They join forces together and they are going to go attack the nation of Moab. They go and they're traveling. And here's the thing you need to know about the three kings. There were three kings, the king of Israel and the king of Edom. They were not really held in high regards. They weren't considered to be godly kings. They weren't to be considered kings that led their nations according to the word of God. They were better than their dads were. Both of their dads were kings. They were better than their dads were, but they still did evil in the sight of God. And I think it's important for you and I to note right there that it's not just good enough that we do better than our parents did. Come on, somebody. How many of you parents and grandparents want to see your children elevated and want to see them live a better life than what you've lived? Make better choices and be better parents and be better spouses. We all want that for our kids and for our grandkids. But hear me on this. It's not good enough that they're just better and they do things a little better than we do them. We need to teach and train our children and our grandchildren that it's not good in the eyes of the world. It's what we should do in the eyes of God, and we should teach them to live out biblical standards. It's not enough that we just do better. We need to teach and train our kids to be godly. So these three kings, they go together, two of them ungodly, one of them godly, Jehoshaphat. He is honoring God and he's leading his nation according to the word of God. These three kings join forces to go out and attack Moab. They get out there 7 days into their journey and they run out of water. That's hard for you and I to imagine. We just go to the sink, do the deal, and water runs out. They're out in the middle of the desert. They're in the middle of nowhere. They need a drink. Their livestock needs drink. They have run out of water. And they go, what in the world are we going to do? And the good godly king Jehoshaphat says this, surely there's a prophet of God in this land somewhere. If we go back to God, God will give us wisdom and God will give us direction and God will make a way where there was no way. Where's the man of God? And they said, it is Elisha. It is Elisha. I love the fact that when these people needed God, they said, find us a man that is close to God that will take us to God. Can I just say a prayer for me and a prayer for you is this? Not that we just show up on Sunday. Not that we just spend a little time reading our Bible throughout the week. My prayer for me and my prayer for you is this, that we live close enough to God that when our friends and our family are struggling and they need just a little bit of help and maybe they don't know how to go to God and maybe they don't know how to go to the Bible and find a scripture to hang on, but they know us and they see our life and they see our convictions and they say, I may not know where else to go, but I'm going to go to Cole because Cole is always going to take me to God. I'm going to go to Katie Grace because she's always going to take me to God. Let us be the kind of people that shine bright in the middle of a dark and an evil and a crooked generation. And people know our relationship with God. These people remembered Elisha. They had seen his service. They had seen his dedication. His reputation preceded him. Look at me. Look. Can I tell you something? Our reputation matters. Come on, somebody. We don't want to talk about that in church. We don't want to talk about our reputation. We just want to talk about God being a good God and God being a loving God and God being a forgiving God and God being a merciful God. And he is all of those things. But once God shows us his goodness and once God gives us his grace and once God shows us his mercy, it has to change who we are from the inside out. And our reputation matters. Our reputation matters. They said, we know Elisha. And so these three kings, they go find Elisha. They say, we're in a bind. We're in a jam and we need some water. They go and they get Elisha. And I love what Elisha says to them. Remember, there's two kings that don't serve God. They did evil in the sight of God, according to the word of God. And then there's one, Jehoshaphat, who honors God. They go to Elisha and they say, we're in a jam, brother. Help us out. We need some water. And I love what Elisha says to them. why are you coming to me? Why don't you go back and call on those pagan gods that your fathers called on? Why don't you go over there and bow down to that statue and ask that statue, why are you coming to me? I'm a man of God. And how many of you know it's okay sometimes to talk a little smack when you're a child of God? Can I hear a good amen? And some of y'all have called me before asking for help, and I wanted to say to you, oh, no, go talk to the whiskey jug. Why are you coming to me right now? But I'm just going to be honest with you, and I'm going to be real with you. Can we be real, y'all? It never ceases to amaze me. And remember this. This is why your reputation matters. It never ceases to amaze me that people that don't even go to church won't darken the doors of the church. People that don't even support the kingdom of God. People that don't even try, don't even say that they believe, they always turn to the church when tragedy hits. You ever notice that? Let it hit. Let divorce hit. Let cancer hit. Let death hit. And they need somebody to host the funeral or love on the family or give them some hope in the middle of the times. And here's what we got to do. We got to be like Elisha. We might can talk just a little bit of smack, but we got to love them right where they are. Come on, somebody. We got to love them right where they are. And so Elisha says to them, okay, here's the deal, y'all. As surely as the Lord Almighty lives whom I serve, he says this to the three kings, I wouldn't even listen to what y'all have to say if it weren't for the respect I have for Jehoshaphat, the one good godly king. He said, I wouldn't even listen to you because you turned your back on me. You've turned your back on God. But because you have an alignment and a relationship with this good godly king, I'm going to listen to what you got to say. How many of you know our circle matters? Come on, somebody. Who we hang around with matters. Who we hang around with matters. If you hanging around with a bunch of hellraisers, that means you're probably a hellraiser. Come on, somebody. But these two ungodly kings said, we're going to hang out with Jehoshaphat because we see something different in him. These two people, these two kings are about to receive the blessings of God simply because who they connected themselves with. Can I tell you, connect yourselves with good, godly, wise people. Let me say it again. Connect yourself with people that are a little bit smarter than you. Connect yourself with people that have a little bit greater connection with God. Connect yourself, surround yourself with godly people because God will pour out the blessings and the blessings will flow to everyone around. These two evil kings about to be blessed because of the life that Jehoshaphat shared with them. They said, they go to Elisha and they go, hey, here's our problem. Elisha's like, I'm going to listen to you. What's the problem? They said, we got no water. We're out of water. We need some water to water our men. We need some water to water our horses. And all of a sudden, here's what Elisha does. Elisha's about to hear from God. Give him direction. What's the first thing Elisha does before he hears from God? It's found in verse number 15. Elisha said this, now bring me someone who can play the harp. While the harp was being played, the power of the Lord came upon Elisha. What does that mean for you and I? Never, never, never underestimate the power of worship. We do not have a song service at Bethel Assembly. We have a worship set before I preach. And you and I, we got to understand that. We got to understand, man, how many of you know we are so blessed in little old dried up Anson, Texas over here with people who can sing and play their instruments. We are so blessed by our worship team. And you know what? They are not over here to perform for you. They are men and women that God has gifted with the talent to use to bring glory to God. If they were standing up here to be standing before an audience and they were doing it for the applause of people, they could go over to Potosi Live over there and play a little concert. But they have chosen to use their gifts and their talents, not for the applause of people, but to lead you and I to a place where our heart is magnifying and glorifying God. They lead us in worship, and we can't take for granted what God has given us here at Bethel. We can't take it for granted. It's worship. There's power in worship, y'all. And let me just say this too. It don't matter what style music it is. Worship is all about your heart. You can sing hymns out of the Broadman hymnal. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. Or you can play worship music with a fiddle and an electric guitar. Come on, somebody. It really doesn't matter the style. Can I tell you, the devil does not have the market on any style of music. Any style of music that glorifies the God in heaven who sent his only begotten son to die on a cross to give us freedom and to forgive us of all of our sins. Any kind of music that brings glory to God is pleasing to our Heavenly Father. Worship is powerful. Worship brings the power of God. Worship brings the presence of God. Can I tell you how powerful worship is? How many of you going to heaven someday shout yes? You know what we're going to do when we get to heaven? We're going to worship. Us preachers, we done preached ourselves out of a job when I get to heaven. But the Bible says that every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation will be gathered around the throne. Read the book of Revelation. They will be playing instruments. They'll be playing a harp. I know that's a little flaky and a little soy milk kind of weird sounding, but nonetheless, there will be instruments in heaven, and the Bible says the worship will be loud, and the Baptists will be standing by the Church of Christ, and they'll be standing by the Methodists, and they'll be standing by the Assemblies of God, and we'll all be worshiping God together. Worship is so important. God says that's what my children are going to do for eternity. And you and I need to tap into that right now. Because can we be real again? Oftentimes when we come to church, we've got so much talent up here. You know what we do? We quit worshiping God and we start watching them play up there. And we don't ever enter in. We just watch. We watch the guitar. We watch the drums. We watch the fiddle player over here. We watch. Can I tell you, they do what they do so that it will move our hearts, just like Elisha said. When the guy started playing the harp and worshiping God, the power of God moved. Can I tell you, if you want to see God move at the church services over here at Bethel Assembly, it's when you and I say, I have a responsibility and I want to honor God. And if we all enter into worship and quit making excuses, the power of God would fall in this place like never before. Worship is so, so powerful. Even some of the, when really we get to worshiping, I've watched you, some of you Baptist folk go like this. Pat your foot. Here's what I want to challenge you with worship. Engage in worship. You don't have to clap your hands. You don't have to raise your hands. You don't have to stomp your feet. But in the 20 minutes that we gather together here before I preach, man, think about God. Focus on God. Quit worrying about what you're going to eat for lunch. Quit worrying about the fuss you had on the way to church. Take a moment and just begin to worship God, and you'll be amazed at what God will do. Here's what I believe. I believe when we worship collectively, every one of us together, God moves and God speaks to us. Would you agree with that? Say a good amen. But here's one more question. What if you and I said, today, I'm going to personally worship God. I'm going to personally worship. See, some of us are like these three kings. I feel like preaching to y'all today, second service. These three kings, one of them worships God. One of them's honoring God. And the other two get the overflow. And they get the blessing. And you know what happens in church? Sometimes that one worships, and that one worships, and that one worships. And about a third of the people really engage and enter into worship. And you know what the rest of us are living off of? The overflow of their worship. Preach, Brother Cody, preach. And here's what I want to say to you. Practice engaging in worship personally. Push yourself a little bit farther. Go a little bit deeper than you've ever done, and then maybe we'll quit living off of the overflow of others. Then we might receive a word directly from God for our personal lives. It's just a challenge. You take it or leave it. Elisha, the play the harp. Power of God comes, and Elisha says to these three kings, here's what you got to do. You got to dig some ditches in this valley. Dig some ditches, because there's going to be some pools of water. Water's going to come. I love that Elisha puts it back off on the people. You want something from God, then you got to go to work. You want to receive from God, then you got to get the shovels out. You got to get the crowbar out. You got to get the pickaxe out. How many of you know in the Bible, they did not have excavators, bobcats, or ditch witches? They had to go to work. God said, I'm going to send some water. But you got to dig some ditches. Dig. You got to dig. How many of you like to dig? Don't raise your hand. Digging other people's business, right? That's what y'all like to do. Dig in the rocks, dig in the dirt, dig around the roots, dig. How many of you know? Let's talk about digging. Digging ain't really cool. Come on, somebody. It's not really trendy. Digging is not fun. I've never seen anybody post something on Instagram of me digging a ditch somewhere. Digging is hot in the summer. Digging is cold in the winter. Causes you to get sweaty. It causes you to get dirty. It's physical labor. It requires time and it requires effort. But if you and I want to retain the living waters that God promises to send in our valley, we have to get our shovel out and we have to dig a ditch so it will fill up with the waters of God. Dig a ditch. Dig a hole so that we can keep and retain what God is trying to do and what God wants to send. Listen to me. Look. However much we're willing to dig and however much effort we're willing to put in this thing of a faith journey, however much effort we put into it is how much we'll be able to receive and retain from God. See, if they didn't dig any ditches, they're in a valley. If they hadn't dug any ditches, the water would have just run down, and in a little while, the water would have been gone. And I love church. You know I love church. You love your church. I know you love your church. I know you love your preacher. But here's what I see, if I'm being real with you, and I'm only saying it out of love. You know what we do? We show up at church on Sunday. We ain't cracked the Bible. We ain't prayed. We ain't really put any effort into our own faith journey. We haven't dug any ditches, but we show up at church on Sunday. And you know what happens at church on Sunday? The waters flow through this place, and we get just a little bit cleaned off, and we get just a little bit refreshed. But by Tuesday, we're back where we were on Saturday night. And God is saying to his people, in 2026, would you work? Would you put a little effort into it? Would you do something you've never done? Would you dig a little deeper and dig a little more so that you can retain more of what I'm trying to pour out in your life? I got a question for you guys. How long has it been since you dug any ditches? You said, Cody, I mean, maybe. Yeah. I dug a ditch 10 years ago. I said, yeah, and that son of a buck is silted in right now. Won't hold a half a gallon of water. Sometimes you got to dig ditches, but sometimes you got to go back and redig them. And all of you folk that live in the country know what I'm talking about. In a tank, you can dig a brand new tank, but after so long, that thing silts in, and where it used to hold 30 foot, now it holds 5 foot. And you want to hold it all, you got to dig it out. You got to work. You got to put forth the effort. Some of you, let me ask you this. Are you still drinking out of the ditch that you dug 20 years ago when you got saved? Because I remember when some of you jokers got saved, don't make me call you out up here. You was broke, busted, disgusted, whoremonger, smoking dope, acting a fool, going to sleep with a whiskey bottle. I remember when you got saved and redeemed and healed and forgiven, you got your shovel out. Boy, you dug a ditch from here to China. Come on, somebody. That's the last time you dug, and you're still drinking out of the ditch that you dug 20 years ago. You know how I know? I can see. You know how I know? You're drinking out of that old muddy, little shallow water because a lot of you men got mud in your mustache. I see it. Time to dig. God is still on the move. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God wants to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond in your life and in my life and in your marriage and in my marriage and my kids. And the fact of the matter is this, we're not receiving the full blessing of God because we ain't been putting no effort into it and digging any ditches. Y'all got quiet, didn't you? It's time to dig. It's time to dig. It's time to dig. It's time to dig. Dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper for you, for Tubby, for our marriage, for our kids, me. Dig a little deeper for you so that I can overflow into you. You dig a little. Oh, anybody understand what I'm saying to you? Stop. Stop. Stop making excuses. Can I say that? Stop complaining. Stop talking about what God didn't do. Listen to me. The promises of God are yes and amen. And God promises to never leave us. And God promises to never forsake us. And God promises to continue to do great and mighty things in our life. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this, "For all the promises of God in him are yes and in him amen to the glory of God." Stop griping. Stop whining. Stop being a titty baby. Stop making excuses. Dig your ditch and wait for the promise of God to come, and then he'll fill you up to overflowing. Dig ditches. God promises to do his part, but we must do our part. You say, "Cody, I just don't see it right now. I just don't feel this right now. My heart's just not in it right now." Can I tell you, you got to do it by faith. You got to do it by faith. We're never going to see what God is going to do, because if we can see what God is going to do, then it will not be by faith. We can't see it. Elisha said it's just going to show up. We got to live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we live by believing and not by seeing." Hebrews 11:6, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." By faith, I don't feel it, but I'm digging anyway. By faith, I'm going anyway. We got to dig diligently. Let me say it again. However much effort and diligence we are willing to put into this thing, however deep and however wide we are willing to dig, will be a direct result of how much we will receive from God. This is one of those miracles. Last point. This is one of those miracles that God says you need to act and respond hastily and quickly. Now, how many of you, let's just do a little survey right quick. How many of you are like me and you're like, "Let's go right now"? And how many of you, "Cole, you lie, lie, lie"? I am surrounded by people that are like, "Wait a minute, Cody, slow down. Let's think about this a little while. Maybe we need to pray and fast a little bit. Let's do this." See, some of us are ready to go. But then others were like, "Well, wait a minute. Should I do this? What should I dig with? Where do I want to get a shovel? Am I going to Ace Hardware? Am I going to Anson Down? Where am I going to go? What kind of..." We think about it, put it off, pray about it, fast about it. All those things. See, those are all good things. But sometimes God wants to do something right now. He's the God of the past. He's the God of the future. But there are supernatural times that God has set up for us where he wants to move in the right now. And if we're sitting on our butt thinking about it, pondering about it, OCD thumping like this right here, and we don't make any decisions, we won't have the ditches dug. And we'll miss the water. Why? Because we got to take advantage of every opportunity. How many know time is short, y'all? See it over and over, more and more and more. Waste my money, but don't waste my time. Because I can get some more money, but I can't get no more time. Ephesians 5:16 says, "Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days." Proverbs 13:4 says this, "The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied." The soul of the diligent is ready to go right now. And I just believe God's trying to do something in your life and in my life right now. And we have to act on it today. You know why? Because watch what happens in this story in verse 20. He tells them, dig ditches. They play the harp. Power of God comes. He said, dig ditches. You're not going to see it. Water's going to come. And watch what happens in verse 20. The next day, the next morning, Monday morning, About the time when the morning sacrifice was offered, boom, water suddenly appeared. It was flowing from the direction of Edom, and soon there was water everywhere. Why put off until tomorrow what we can all do right here today? Why put it off? I'll close with this. Do you need to do some digging? Do you need to do some digging? Do you need to do some digging? Maybe for some of you, it's for the first time. Maybe for some of you, you get some mud out. Dig it out. Dig it out. Uproot that thing. Get it out of there. Out of our heart, let's be honest, how many of you's heart gets jacked up? I'm your pastor, and I've been your pastor for almost 26 years. My heart gets jacked. My heart gets full of things. My heart gets hard. And you know what? It is mine and your responsibility to dig out of our heart the things that are rooted in our heart that stop us from receiving the gifts of God. We get anger in our hearts. Oh, come on. None of y'all get angry, right? We get this bitterness in our heart towards somebody, towards some situation. We get this poor, pitiful me attitude, and I'm a victim, and I don't understand. We have all these things, unforgiveness and jealousy and insecurities and pride and arrogance. There are all these things, and also habits and also lifestyles. And God is going, get rid of them. Get them out of your life. Dig them up so I can fill you up with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and long-suffering. But God's waiting on you and me. Actually, and I gotta quit. He ain't waiting on you and me. He's gonna send it. Come on, somebody. He ain't waiting on you and me. He's going to send that water. He's going to send rivers of living water. I believe it. I'm going to receive it. And even though it doesn't feel good to me, baby, I'm going to dig me some ditches. Because when it comes, I'm going to be ready to receive the fullness that God wants for me in my life. Come on, Dayron. Get up here. Help me quit preaching because I'm already over my time limit. If you don't walk fast, I'll just keep preaching too. I just say this to you. I say it with love, man. Don't miss what God's going to do. Don't miss what he wants to do. Dig ditches. I challenge you with this. Here's my bottom line today while the worship team's coming. Your circle matters. Two people didn't really honor God, received the blessings of God because they hung around with King Jehoshaphat who loved God. Surround yourself with good people that love God. Surround yourself with people that won't try to pull you back down. Surround yourself with people that won't try to get you to go live the old lifestyle. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Surround yourself with people that elevate you and raise you up. And then be that kind of person that raises everybody up around you. Your circle matters. And your reputation precedes you. They said, oh, we know Elisha. Oh, we know, we've heard. Our reputation matters, the way that we live. I love the fact that when we need God, we can seek God. He's always got an answer and he's always got a direction. When we're seeking God, you know what moves the heart of God? When we worship him. Never underestimate the power of worship. Engage. Participate. Worship God. Direct your eyes to him. And then, last but not least, get out your shovel and get to digging. Get out your shovel and get to digging. Dig, dig, dig. Don't be lazy, be diligent. Don't wait any longer. Dig, 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 dig right now and prepare for when God comes. We're going to close our service this way today. We're going to close our service celebrating Holy Communion. The very foundation of our Christian faith is the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. And what a great way to celebrate digging out ditches, getting rid of the old to receive the new. Because this right here, the broken body and the blood of Christ, is what gave you and I newness of life. forgave us, cleansed us. So today, we're going to celebrate this. The same night when Jesus was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it and he said, y'all, come here and eat. Come sit down at my table. This bread represents my broken body. His body was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. That's newness, y'all. When they got through eating supper and eating the bread, Jesus got the wine out. He said, take, eat. He said, come, and this is my blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Come and partake. And he said, often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, remember me. Do it in remembrance of me. So we're going to celebrate communion.